Well, grace and peace to you again in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Please open your Bibles to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 is conveniently found on page 999 of your pew Bibles. And as we look at the great book of Romans, we come to a portion today. We often look at verses 16 and 17 of chapter 1, especially as Protestants. We love verses 16 and 17, but I'd like for us to consider tonight 16 and 17 in light of the rest of that chapter up to verse 32. So let's pay attention now as we read together God's holy and perfect word. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be made known, may be known of God, is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things. Therefore, God gave them up to uncleanness and the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of women, burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. And even as they did not like to retain, God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind, to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do they do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Let's pray. Father, we pray now, Lord, for your Spirit, that you would indeed apply these words to our hearts and to our lives. Lord, that you would impress these truths, your very words on this page, Lord, deep within our souls. Lord, that we would think rightly and act rightly. Lord, that we would believe who you are as you've revealed yourself, and we wouldn't be ashamed of it. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you go to Eastern Europe, you would find a city city called Pripyat. And in Pripyat, there's some eerie photos in the city. It's a city where there are Olympic-sized swimming pools that one day, or once in their heyday, were a vacation resort. And now these pools are graffitied on and have weeds growing up through the cracks in them. You would see playground sets that kids used to swing on and have fun playing in, and now they're rusted, falling apart, and decaying. You would find entire buildings that look like ghost towns, buildings that weren't built more than 80 years ago. And while you might not have heard of this city, you would have heard of its neighboring city, Chernobyl. When you look at this city, you know this isn't the way this is supposed to be. You would look at Pripyat and you would say, something wrong happened here. And when we look at our world also, we see and we look out and we can say, something wrong happened here. Something that wasn't good. Something that has scarred, something that has mutilated things, something is poisonously wrong here. And here in the text before us, verses 16 through 32, we wrestle with that reality of living in a fallen world. And your call tonight, Christian, is you are to live by faith in this fallen world. Live by faith in this fallen world. So first thing to realize is don't be fooled by the wisdom of this world. Don't be fooled by the wisdom of this world. Look with me at verse 22. Professing to be wise, they became fools. There is a compelling philosophy of this world. People in this world love philosophy. They love it. Go to any university and you will find people who love philosophy. Go to any bookstore and you'll find people who want to tell you their philosophy. People love turning on their radios and hearing different sides of the arguments. Just think about how many television shows are on today. If you turn on the news channel, it's not reporting the news, but it's people commenting on what's going on and trying to convince each other of what's right and what's wrong based upon their philosophy of the world. So everybody has their philosophy. They're professing to be wise, this world that we live in. But the second part of that verse is they became fools. Well, the word for this is emeronsethon. The root of that is where we get our word today, moron. Professing to be wise, they became moronic in their thinking. Proverbs 9:10 tells us, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. What happens when somebody turns their back away from the God of the Scriptures? They turn their back from the one who is wise. When someone turns their back away from the God who created the heavens that declare His glory, as we sang in Psalm 8, when people turn their back and say, there is no God, they become fools because they don't even recognize that there is a God who created them and that they are small. They're faulty in their reasonings. Verse 21, because altogether, although they knew God, they did not glorify Him nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Again, the idea here of they became futile in their speculations is grasping at a word picture here. The word is dialogismos, and dialogos, two words, two competing arguments. This seriously. This is MSNBC or Fox News. Two people talking who are confused, butting heads against each other, And at the end of the conversation, everybody's more confused at the end than they were at the beginning. That's the point of what the heart of this word is, that they became futile in their speculations. Just talking issues out doesn't mean that the world arrives at truth or arrives at wisdom. Indeed, they don't arrive at this wisdom because what does verse 8 tell us? There are those who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Again, this idea of suppressing the truth in unrighteousness. Imagine that the idea is, imagine you had a beach ball. And if you go to a beach ball and you take it to the pool, what happens when you try to push that beach ball underneath the water? What naturally wants to happen with that beach ball? It wants to come up, and you have to constantly push it down and push it down. You have to keep it down there. And that's what the ungodly do, is they ignore the reality that that beach ball is supposed to be up, and they keep suppressing the truth in their unrighteousness. And as one of my mentors was telling me, though, the situation is worse than that. It's more than just one beach ball. It's as if that pool is filled with beach balls, and when they push down one, another comes up, and they can't keep all the beach balls down. They're suppressing the truth and unrighteousness, and their divine attributes of God is what they're suppressing. His divine attributes and his eternal power have been seen from creation. But what have we done as human beings? Right, this is the entire message of the Old Testament. Instead of worshiping the Creator, you worship the created. Right, this is the foolishness of what Isaiah talks about, that people would go and they would find a piece of wood, and they would cut that wood down, and with half of it they would make an idol, and with the other half they would cook their fire. And we would sit there and go, well, that's stupid. And that's what Isaiah calls it. But yet people still do that today. They worship their own pride, they worship their own ego, they worship their own administration that they've set up, they worship their own business they've set up, they worship something that they've created. See, Colossians 3:5 tells us that there are still idols today. The ESV puts it this way: put to death, therefore, whatever is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. When's the last time you've thought of your covetousness as idolatry? The last time you've seen that person in the parking lot who has a cleaner, newer model of that car than yours, and you've wanted their car. Idolatry. This is why Calvin talks about our hearts being a factory of idols. We're in a horrible condition. The wisdom of our culture now, though, is all about the self. The idol of America is the self. If you've listened to any of the arguments surrounding the transgender whole movement, the core argument that the liberals will try to tell you is these are people who are just trying to be their most authentic self. They're trying to be their best self. Right? This is why you'll never exhaust the amount of self-help books that are written every single year. The self, the individual, is our idol today that we deal with. Do what's best for yourself. Be your best self. And this is enshrined in our very Declaration of Independence. We who hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they're endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, okay, we agree with that, liberty, we agree with that, and the pursuit of happiness. individual, happy self. That's the American idol. This is how the world would have you think. That it's all about you. It's all about you. And you can't question that self. You can't suppress someone who wants to express themselves. This is exactly what just happened last night in the California legislature when they passed a bill that very well might get pastors in California thrown in jail who preach against homosexuality. The California legislature this week, we must pray that those leaders repent because their own wisdom, their own suppression of truth and unrighteousness has made a law saying that it is illegal for anybody to create a program which would encourage transgender or homosexual people to change. Get ready, it's coming. This isn't fear-mongering anymore. One of my pastor friends, they said, I'm afraid that I won't be able to minister in California in 20 years, and I'm worried he won't be able to minister in 5 years. See, Christian, we must be those who are not fooled by the wisdom of this world. But we need to see this world as it really is. That's our second point. See the world as it really is. See, in verses 24, 26, and 28, we see a sad reality of what the world really is. Verse 24, therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness and the lust of their hearts, the dishonor of their bodies among themselves. And then verse 26, for this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. And then in verse 28, and even though they didn't not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over, or gave them up, to a debased mind. Three times this idea is repeated. God gave them up, God gave them up, God gave them up. What a sad. Brothers and sisters, the people in this world, we need to look at and see that they are walking as people given up to their passions, to their desires, to the natural man who resides in them. Thank you, Adam. God has given them up, but it's worse than just giving them up. So yes, God gave them up to their evil desires, their passions, their lusts. But what does the end of verse 32 say? It's not just that they're somehow helplessly left to being given up to their sins. The end of verse 32 says, not only do the same, meaning they not only do the same acts, but they also approve of those who practice them. They approve of those who practice them. This is legal language. Paul uses legal language all throughout the book of Romans, and this is one of the times that he's using a specific legal word. This is the same word that's used when Stephen is stoned and Paul is there giving his assent to it. He's giving his legal testimony. Yeah, this man should die. That same type of testimony is what the wicked are doing. Not only are they practicing their own vile sins, not only are they indulging in the lusts and the passions and the desires of their flesh, not only are they dishonoring their parents, but they're also legally looking at other people and saying, what you're doing is right. Why are we surprised by the state that our world is in? We should be mourning the state that our country is in, and mourning the state that the people around us are in, but it shouldn't be surprising to us. It was true of the Romans. It was true in the Middle Ages. It was true during the Reformation. It was true during the Enlightenment, and it certainly is true now. You need to see the world as it really is, given up God's given up the world to their evil passions and desires. This is the horrible state that we find ourselves after the fall. So what are you supposed to do about it? This is a horrible picture that's pointed out for you here, but what are you supposed to do about it? See, Christian, we keep talking about them out there doing these vile, wicked deeds, them out there who indulge in the lusts of the passions of their flesh, those who out there who suppress the truth in their unrighteousness, those out there who dishonor their parents, but you know that in your life, you've done the same thing, haven't you? When you've looked down upon your parents and you've looked at them with disdain, when you've looked at your other person's possessions and you've coveted, you've given in to the lust of the desires of your flesh, we know this sin too personally, don't we? So what do you do? You live by faith in this fallen world. Look with me at verses 16 and 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. For the Jew first, and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. See, Habakkuk chapter 2, this is where this quote, the just shall live by faith. Habakkuk was a prophet living amongst an unfaithful people. Habakkuk was a prophet who lived amongst idolaters. Habakkuk was a man who knew this, and he asks God, how long? And God's answer to him is, the just shall live by faith. See, again, we love verses 16 and 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. We love it. Yes, from faith to faith, or from faith for faith. We know it's justification by faith alone. That's the heart of the gospel, but that is the heart that will get you through this dark, fallen world. Paul, what he says in verses 18 through 32 is offensive to this world. And you are going to be called in your life to be ashamed of it. People are going to, if you say that God has given you over to the lustful desires of your flesh, that men shouldn't burn with passion for other men, nor women for other women, people are going to tell you you should be ashamed of that. You're a bigot. You're closed-minded. You're backwards. You should be ashamed of yourself for such hate speech. The world wants us to be ashamed of that. What is the only hope we have? Why would we continue to say this 2,000 years later? Because the just shall live by faith. Christian, you must not be ashamed of the gospel, because it is, as we saw in Psalm 1, and if you turn to Psalm 19, it is the word which instructs us, and it is the word which has the power to save souls. Do not be ashamed of the word that has the power to bring people eternal life. Do not be ashamed of it, no matter what the prince of the power of this air might try to tell you, no matter what fear might come upon you, no matter what government might try to suppress it in their unrighteousness, the church will not fail. Jesus Christ will not fail as long as the church is faithful to His word. The heart of the gospel is at stake here. And it is hated by the world because they know it is at odds with their very life. They can't love who they want to love. They can't do what they want to do, because what they want to do is at odds with who God said His people are to be. Christian, live by faith in this fallen world. He's declared you righteous, legally just. He has declared you right with Him because of Jesus Christ. That's what verse 17 is getting at. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith. I'm going to change the New King James here. A better translation is for faith. He gives us righteousness first. He regenerates us. He gives us a new heart. And then He gives us faith. And we are to live our lives in light of that righteousness He's given us, of that new heart He's given us, and of the faith He's given us. That's who you are, Christian. That's your new identity. That's what the power of the Holy Spirit has done in you. Don't be ashamed of the gospel that has the power to save. Take it to the Jew. Take it to the Gentile. Don't be ashamed of it. Don't be surprised by this world that's wicked, that wants to suppress this truth and unrighteousness. They know it's true in their own hearts. The heavens declare the glory of God. They know His divine attributes and His nature. And they know His wrath is coming. Don't be ashamed of it. Don't be ashamed of the gospel that you have received, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Live your life, Christian, unashamed of the good news of Jesus Christ, that He has saved a sinner like you. And He saves today. And His gospel is powerful. Live your life as a new creation in light of that gospel. Let's pray. Father, I pray that You would forgive me, forgive us, Lord, for how often we are afraid of man. Lord, how often we're afraid to tell the gospel to someone. How often we're worried we'll lose friends over it. Lord, forgive us for how often we hesitate, how often we think it's just inconvenient. Lord, forgive us for buying into the wisdom of this world so often. Lord, we pray that You would, by Your Spirit indeed, let Your word be sweeter to us than the honeycomb, and let us live our lives in light of Your saving grace. Father, that You would be glorified in having a kingdom, a nation of people brought to Yourself, saved by Your grace. Thank You for the righteousness You've given us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.